my first impression of the wall was trauma. I was angered. I was emotionally upset. To listen to all the propaganda and to know that there's people out there called the Minutemen who are the invaders, predominantly Caucasian, or what I call the Washichu, or the Gringo, or the White, invaders of the North, sitting on the borders talking about the things they talk about. When they're nothing more than vigilantes, murderers, they're looking for a fresh scalp. And to hear all the banter from all the different media outlets and the mainstream media talk about illegal immigration and on, really on this side of the issue, physically, just basically unmasked and expose the lie and the whole propaganda machinery and psychology behind this working up, inciting racial hatred. And at the same time, it brought back all of the intense feelings that I've seen when I've looked at and viewed and talked with people who have been in Palestine, you know, fighting for their land and having to deal with this idea of a wall being put up by another invader, imposter regime, the Israeli regime, and knowing that what they do there is the same as what they're doing here, that the IDF over there is the same IDF here, and that the people have the same attitudes. And that the wall is insulting. It's an insulting aberration. It's like a erection in Mother Earth that is not wanted. You know, it's not a natural thing. It's a forced. It's a rape. It's a violation. It's violent. It represents violence in its most ugly form. It's a separation, an isolation. It's a canonization of a racist policy. It's ugly. I had not felt such feelings of disgust and emotion, rage. So we had made a walk up the beach, which is close to this ugly. And there's a part of the fence that they're working on this. They're putting in, you know, hours, you know, building this violent symbol, what we call the wall. I call it the insult. We had occasion to walk down, and they have the orange fence on. Of course, it's on the non-U.S. side, so it's on the Mexican soil side. And they had moved the fence 5 feet further into Mexico. Talking about illegal immigration, here they done this border, and they moved it 5 feet, you know, along this artificial line made up by them. And that's an invasion, folks. I mean, the United States invaded 5 feet of Mexican land to put up their stupid fence. So they had to move it back 5 feet. And not only does it go, it runs down to the ocean, but it's going to extend 500 feet out into the water so that even the dolphins can't get in back and forth where they cruise up and down the beach. I just mentioned that because it's the ridiculousness of this wall is, it even insults creatures that, you know, use the different form of a different culture, the culture of water, to navigate and to live in and so on, out into the ocean. And so we walk down there. It's right by the, on this place, there's a kind of like a vista, that you can go to and look out over the wall into the United States, as if that's what we wanted to do. There are 24/7 helicopters flying around. The wall runs down to the beach, and then it also runs right next to the highway on the Tijuana side. And there's three walls, actually. There's not just one wall. There's three walls. There's the one that's right next to, that sits right supposedly on the border, although, like I said, it's 5 feet over the border in this particular section. And the wall that's back of that, that's several feet away. It's not just 10 feet away or whatever. It's hundreds of feet away. There's another wall. And then there's still another wall, which is actually the wall. The third wall back is actually the line. So when I say they're five feet on, that's 5 feet on the third wall. They're already in between the third wall and the wall that I'm speaking about that we actually went into, and I'll get to in a second. There's a lot of space. There's miles. It's like a couple miles of a buffer space that's considered to be no man's land. And in that no man's land is where the patrols are and is where the colonial military and border agents sit. And that's their job, is to fly these helicopters and militarized zone. It's a DMZ. It's not a border. The first myth that I wanted to dispel here is that we don't have a border down here. We have a demilitarized zone. It's a no man's land. It's got military sensors. It's got military apparatus, machinery, implements of military. It's a war zone. And the fact that it's a passive war zone does not dispel the fact that it's still a war zone. And every once in a while, it gets active when people actually cross through this no man's land, through all the sensors, through all the three fences, dodging the colonial apparatus on the U.S. El Norte side, as well as on the Mexican side, the colonial Mexican government side, when they have their own military, their own police, their own, you know, shadow military units. They all have the same haircut. They all have the same look. They all wear the same uniform. They all run around and with the same sunglasses on. They all look, you know, totally stormtrooper or Star Wars, you know, cookie cutter, Estados Unidos, special ops type. So that's who these guys are, and anybody that ventures in there, which has happened, and which has created casualties. We have a casualty rate now, you know, 4,000, I think, is the number. KIAs, these are people that have been killed, and we don't know how many people have not been reported to have been killed, and they've just been, they haven't been found or something. People, the desert or the something happened to them, they didn't get counted. We know how many people got wounded. We know that the Minutemen are up there. Not only are the Minutemen on the southern border, but they're also on the northern border in Canada. And these idiots are running around talking that, you know, Scarborough and some of those other talking idiots up on the